Welcome to HR After Dark, the podcast where we dive into the untold truths of HR, employment law, and workplace trends after hours. I'm Shelby. I'm your HR professional, law student, and advocate for a better workplace. I'll be your out-of-office therapist you didn't ask for tonight. Quick small talk. Before we dive in, guys, I'm recovering from a cold. Apologies if I sound awful. I've got the whole nasal thing going on, so not much I can do about that. However, to recap from the trailer episode really quick, this is not going to be your typical HR office. While my goal is to provide you with facts, it is after hours and I'm not actually on the clock. So I reserve every single right to tell everyone to fuck off. And tonight I'm giving a big fuck off to my baby daddy. So how's that for messy? All right, I'm going to try to keep the episodes brief, under 30 minutes. With that, go ahead, grab your timesheets. It's time to clock in to the first official episode. Today we're tackling 5 key HR facts. I'm going to be sharing my HR pro tip as it pertains to each fact and break down what that fact means for you. After Dark Spotlight will shed light on a trendy HR-related news story, and then we'll end on an HR horror story of the week, where you can submit your story and I'll broadcast it on the web, anonymously, of course, unless you also want to be messy. Give me your name, give me the permission to post it, because I will. All right, let's jump into it. So key fact number one, employee rights are protected by law. And there's multiple laws, okay? I don't have time to go over them, you know, line by line by line. But some key laws that I want to talk about. Title VII of the Civil Rights Act and the FLSA, Americans with Disabilities Act, or the ADA, FMLA, or Family Medical Leave Act, and OSHA, Occupational Safety Health Act. All right. Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, it applies to employers with 15 or more employees. This protects employees from discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. It's important because it ensures that workplaces are diverse and inclusive. Oh, did we hear diversity and inclusion? DEI is a whole nother topic. I'd love to get into it, but not tonight. If you want to know more on my thoughts on it, I will gladly do an opinion episode. But basically, the Title VII is important because it ensures that workplaces are diverse and inclusive, and it protects employees from unfair treatment. DEI has been around. It hasn't been called that until about the early 2000s. So previously, it was populated under the term affirmative action. So keep that in mind. Do a little research on it. Tent law, number 2, Americans with Disabilities. I'm going to skip over the FLSA because it is point number 4 on my 5 HR important facts here. So I'm going to skip over FLSA for now. Americans with Disability, it applies to employers with 15 or more employees as well. It prohibits discrimination against employees with disabilities in hiring, promotions, and workplace accommodations. So if you have a candidate who uses a wheelchair and they need reasonable accommodations, they can't be denied a job. Employers can't deny them a job because they need an accessible desk. Okay. However, reasonable accommodation is a whole different topic for a different day. Just know for now, it means that it has to be consistent with business necessity and it cannot cause an undue burden on the company. Okay. So if that employer wants an accessible desk, by all means, or I'm sorry, that employee wants an accessible desk, by all means, that's something that can be provided to them. There are cheap desks, right? The employee cannot state that they want like this top of the line, whatever desk that has drawers that slide out and a pin pops up and, you know, whatever. If you want to get high tech with it, no. But the employer does have to provide some reasonable accommodation there. It's important because it promotes equal opportunities for individuals with disabilities and it ensures an accessibility in the workplace. The Occupational Safety and Health Act, OSHA, that's our safety. You know, that's our PPE. Employers have to provide a workplace free from recognized hazards that could cause injury or death. FMLA, it applies to employers with 50 plus employees within a 75 mile radius. This matters because it provides eligible employees with up to 12 weeks of unpaid leave, medical, it's for family or medical related reasons, such as having a baby, caring for a sick relative, yada, yada. This is a big one. It allows balances to work-life responsibilities without fear of losing employment. All right. So your employee rights are protected by law. Please, 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 HR pro tip, if you feel your rights are being violated, consult HR first. If unresolved, the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, or whoever your local agency is can help you. I don't have the breakout by state. You can Google it. Google is fucking free. But if you feel that your rights are being violated, please contact HR first. All right. Pro tip number two, at-will employment has limits. All right. I'm sure a lot of you have seen that when you apply for your job, you go through your orientation, you sign all those papers, you have to listen to your HR person drone on and on and on. There is something in that paperwork that says that in an at-will employment state, an employer or that specific employer that you were hired on to work for can terminate you for any reason or no reason without notice. But at-will employment has limits. They cannot fire you or terminate you for protected characteristics. What are those? Title VII, baby. Okay. Discrimination on race, sex, religion, etc. Not allowed. Okay. They cannot fire you for retaliation. Employees are protected if they file complaints or report illegal activity. So if you go to HR and you say, so-and-so supervisor is sexually harassing me, and the next day you're terminated, you could have a case. I'm just saying. Contracts. Employees with signed contracts, whether explicit or implied, that may not be an at-will situation, okay? So do some research into that, all right? Employees often think, if my employer is at-will, I have no recourse. False, baby. Because there is Title VII, because there's the ADA, because there are whistleblower protections and contractual obligations, you have recourse. HR pro advice here, always ask for clarity about your employment status and understand your company's termination policies. Keep records of interactions and understand why performance documentation is crucial. Documentation. Yes, let's get into it. It relates. Okay. As I just said, keep records and interactions and understand why performance documentation is critical. Here's why. Okay. HR uses documentation to protect both the employees and the company. However, incident reports, any type of investigative complaints or whatever, we're documenting. You better believe I'm going to have my employees back over the supervisors. And I'm not allowed to say that, right? But I fucking can. Because sometimes our supervisors and our managers are a little shady, okay? Somebody had to say it. Anyways, we use documentation with incident reports, investigative complaints, with performance reviews, okay? We're justifying your promotions, your terminations, et cetera, et cetera. Without that proper documentation, it is so difficult to prove anything. Think of documentation as like your personal safety net. Document conversations with managers, especially if they involve any disciplinary action or request. Document any patterns of harassment or discrimination. Document any changes to working conditions or pay. What I always tell anybody that I'm bringing in for orientation, a quick email or written note can save hours of stress. So, employees, yes, absolutely. Document your interactions with upper management. Take the screenshots, especially if you believe that they're going to be relevant to any potential case. Any type of text that is coming after hours, oh my fucking God, any text that is coming after hours, no, you're off the clock. You're off the clock. You don't have to respond. That's just how it is. So, HR pro tip here. If something important happens, send a follow-up email, okay? Summarize the conversation. This is going to create a time-stamped record. And if a verbal conversation occurs, just recap it real quick in that email. Point number four, wage and hour laws apply to everyone. This is going back to FLSA. Who does this apply to? Basically everybody. Nearly all businesses. Any business engaged in interstate commerce. It's setting the minimum wage, overtime pay rules, and child labor standards. Non-exempt employees must be paid overtime. That's your time and a half for hours worked over 40 in a week. That's your non-exempt employees. What's a non-exempt employee? That's an hourly employee. You're paid by the hour. Your exempt employees are your salaried. They're not eligible for overtime, but they have to meet specific criteria. Anytime there is any type of claim of misclassification or we're kind of seeing it trending now where this presidential administration wants to do away with tax on overtime. That's going to lead into, oh, employers saying, well, we're not going to pay overtime. Okay. Or we're just not going to offer it. So we don't have to pay it. So then, you know, it can't be tax-free. Anytime there is a classification change, there needs to be documentation with it. Just know that misclassification does occur. And there is a notable high-profile misclassification lawsuit ongoing right now. It's between the party staff, which is a hospitality staffing firm, and they just filed the lawsuit in January. And it alleges that gig-based services like Quick, InstaWork, Tend, Nousta, and some major food service companies like Aramark and Guggenheimer, they are misclassifying their workers as independent contractors to avoid paying a minimum wage overtime and payroll taxes. This misclassification, according to the party staff, allowed these companies to underbid compliant businesses, leading to significant revenue losses for the party staff. The lawsuit was filed in the state of California. You can look it up. It is the party staff v. Quick California Superior Court. Do a little Google search. You can stay up to date on it. I'll try to let you know the outcome. It's an ongoing lawsuit right now, though, so what's going to happen, we don't know. Just pro tip here, whether you're classified as exempt or non-exempt, that impacts your pay. So employees, keep up to date on that. And it will say on your new hire paperwork, on your offer letter, whether you're exempt or non-exempt, it has to say it on there. Employers, audit your job descriptions and duties to ensure that it's compliant with FLSA classifications, please. You should be doing this. Your audit department should be telling you to do this. But if they're not, I'm telling you. Last pro tip here, HR is not just for the employer. Go to HR if you need to report harassment or discrimination, if you have questions about your pay, your benefits, your workplace policies, issues with a manager or coworker. We are literally your goddamn therapist. Use and abuse us. We love it. HR isn't just the company's lawyer. They are there to support all employees and foster a fair workplace. And now I know a lot of you are like, oh, well, my fucking employer doesn't care. Guess what? That's probably true. That's the God honest truth. And I don't have any rebuttal to it. That's probably true. And I'm sorry, but update your resume and find a new job. Okay. HR pro tip here. Approach HR as a partner. Go in prepared, know your policies, document your concerns. And for my supervisors and managers, please, 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 please start fostering trust with your employees. Be transparent, follow through on promises, because I'm tired of y'all getting told on. Okay. All right, let's transition over to some trendy news now. Mishandled electronic I-9s could be a costly immigration threat for employers under Trump. This is coming directly from HRDrive.com. You guys can go look it up yourselves. It says, quote, Trump has not minced words about his plan to crack down on illegal immigration, and employers are taking notice. The administration has begun the workplace raids, and stakeholders predict an increase in audits of the I-9 forms. So those forms, what are they? They're the documents used to verify whether an employee is eligible to work in the United States. When you go to your orientation and they say, can I please have two forms of ID? Your typical form is your driver's license and your social security card. Both employers and employees have to complete certain sections of that form. So you've got the top section, which is like, you know, employee fill out up to this line, don't fill out past this line. Traditionally, an employer representative, so your HR person, will sit down with the new hire and collect those documents. And then they both take turns filling out that form. Some aspects of the process have become more electronically driven in recent years, thanks to the COVID pandemic. In 2020, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement temporarily permitted employers to review authorization documents remotely. ICE then made remote authorizations a permanent option for E-Verify participants in good standing in 2023, and that is still ongoing in 2025. Electronic solutions that aid with the form I-9 completion and record keeping had also become increasingly common well before the pandemic. These tools that are offered by HR information system vendors, law firms, and other third parties are sold on the premise of streamlining what can be a time and resource intensive process for employers. DHS regulations require that employers keep audit trails of electronic I-9s, which are records showing what actions have been taken with respect to a specific form. So, what are the DHS regulations? It ensures that only authorized personnel have access to electronic records, provides for a backup and recovery of records, ensures that employees are trained to minimize the risk of unauthorized or accidental alteration, and it ensures whenever the electronic record is created, completed, updated, modified, altered, etc., etc., a secure and permanent record is created that establishes the date of access, right? All of that's done in your HR department. Federal law enforcement agencies have previously taken action against employers who are not compliant in using the I-9 forms. ICE fined Abercrombie & Fitch more than $1 million over technology-related deficiencies in the company's electronic form I-9 verification system. This can be costly for employers. So on January 2nd, DHS detailed civil monetary penalty adjustments for inflation, in which the penalty form I-9 paperwork violations increased from a maximum of $2,789 per violation, $2,789 per violation, to $2,861 per violation. So what do we do now? HR teams need to take initiative and ensure that their vendors are aware of DHS regulations. ICE isn't going to let you off the hook, all right? Employers, please don't assume that your software is solution compliant. All right, it's important to independently vet every electronic solution, making sure you comply with regulations. It's ultimately going to be the employer who's liable for any errors and us little Joe Schmoes down the line. Yeah, we're going to see some impacts of this. All right. Moving right along to HR horror story. Horror story today says, my friend went to report misconduct on her supervisor for yelling and cussing at her. Long story short, she was terminated the following day. She believes it was in retaliation. So let's analyze it, okay? Let's get into it. Could it be retaliation? Yeah, it could be considered retaliation if the employee was terminated specifically for reporting the misconduct of their supervisor. So retaliation, of course, is illegal under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. What does that do? And everybody says in unison with me, protects employees who engage in protected activities like reporting workplace misconduct. So to determine if this was retaliation, the employee would need to show that they, one, engaged in a protected activity, so reporting the misconduct. Two, they experienced an adverse action, i.e. the termination. And three, that a connection exists between the two, like the timing and behavior is off. And so in this case, it looks, she's looking a little sus, all right? It's looking like Miss Girl went to go report and that HR department that she had was pretty shitty. So she's going to want to consult with an employment attorney. My personal opinion on this story, fuck that HR department, okay? Because how did they willingly let this fall through the cracks? And I better not see her annual review saying that she was a stellar employee. Miss Girl has a case, and that's all I'll say. All right, guys, that is it on tonight's episode. Hopefully the five tips help you. Go find me on TikTok at HR After Dark Podcast. Email me your HR horror stories and workplace gossip. I want to dig into it every single week and discuss it with you. You can email me at HRAfterDarkPro@gmail.com to get featured on the weekly episodes. Thank you so much for tuning in to HR After Dark, where we keep the workplace drama compliant and under control. Until next week, have a great night, guys. See ya.